Good morning. It's good to be here, though after not doing this for a few months, I'm feeling a little bit rusty. So bear with me as we look at how Jesus included women. And I've broken this up into three parts. So we're going to start off looking at Jesus. Then we're going to move on to looking at the church and how we've interpreted Jesus. And we're going to finish by hopefully being both encouraged and challenged by what we do with that information. So before we start, let's just pray. Lord God, we just want to give you thanks for the opportunity that we have to be together in this place at this time. We thank you for your written word that shares with us these stories of the life of Jesus that we can learn from and model our own lives on. We pray that you would open our eyes this morning and our ears and our hearts and allow us to see the truth and be willing to apply it to our own lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was in Israel about 7 years ago, one of the highlights of my trip was visiting the ruins of a synagogue in Capernaum. It was ruins that were most likely on the same site as where the original synagogue had stood, but it probably wasn't the original building. But the ruins would have been very similar in structure. It was really amazing for me to stand there in that place and imagine Jesus teaching. You know, I closed my eyes and I could imagine Jesus standing there. I could feel myself listening, just hanging on his every word. It was quite moving for me. But as I heard the guide that was with us talking, he kept talking about men. And so I asked him, what about the women? And he looked at me like I'd asked the most ridiculous question. And he said, no women would have been standing there. The women weren't allowed into the synagogue with the men. The women would have been upstairs behind a wall, right up the top, behind where I'm sitting. I was devastated. I was gutted. I walked out and I went down and I sat on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and I wept. I wept for myself because I was devastated, because if I'd been born then, I would have been excluded from being with Jesus. But I also wept for all of the women in the past and all of the women in the present who are still being excluded in some way from being with Jesus, who are being stopped from being who he has made and called them to be. Maybe that's why I love this story so much. Because it's a story that I see the truth of Jesus' inclusion of women in. I've heard lots of sermons from this story. Stories that have highlighted the relationships between siblings, that have talked about hospitality, priorities, love and sacrifice, discipleship, that have focused on the importance of both being with Jesus and serving Jesus. And those things are all important. But today I want us to focus on verses 39 to 42. Verse 39 says, "Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught." It might not sound very significant to us, but women couldn't learn alongside men. Remember, women couldn't be in the synagogue where the men were learning. They were separated. And women wouldn't normally be disciples. Yet in choosing to sit at Jesus' feet, Mary took the posture of a disciple. She did something that only men could have or would have done. You know, in Jesus' day, as well as when I was growing up, the expectation would have been that Jesus would have agreed with Martha. That maybe Jesus would have gently, you know, very kindly said to Mary, "Yes, she's right. You should go and help your sister in the kitchen. That's right." But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't do what's culturally expected of women. He does something completely unexpected. Look at his reply. The Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Jesus doesn't send Mary away. He does the opposite. Jesus encourages her to stay exactly where she is. He encourages her to sit there and to learn like one of the men. He publicly defends her right to be there. He affirms her choice to be a disciple, something unheard of in their society that regarded women as little more than children. Society that saw women not being worthy of education and learning, it was pointless. They were only going to be in the home, something my own father also thought. A society that valued women for their ability to serve men, to have children and to look after the home. Yet here is Jesus upholding her choice to be a disciple. Now, Jesus isn't It's hard for some of us, I think particularly in this church or particularly for some of us who've grown up in inclusive homes, to grasp how shocking this was. How far it went against the religious and social and religious norms, cultural norms, because women simply weren't included. In fact, they were excluded. They were ignored and overlooked. Their choices were made for them. Women were not seen as equal with men. That is not how God made us to be. God created human beings in his own image. God blessed them and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground." From the very first words we have in the Bible, we read that male and female were created in God's image, that male and female were given the same authority and the same responsibility over creation. God's intention for humanity was equality, side by side working together for God. But instead of following God's idea, we know that human beings have chosen to go their own way. The result of that then and still today, as James has reminded us, is hierarchy. It's patriarchy. It's division and it's inequality between men and women, things that were never part of God's plan. But we know Jesus came and he brought with him redemption. He brought with him restoration of broken relationships. He showed us a new way to live, a new way to do community, a new way to practice equality through inclusion of every person. Regardless of age, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of your place in society or gender or anything else. Do you know, as I read through the Bible, through the Gospels, I've noticed that Jesus didn't actually exclude anyone. Think about that for a moment. Can you think of anyone that Jesus deliberately ignored, or that he rejected, or that he turned away from? When Jesus looked at someone, he didn't first see their gender. He didn't first see their marital status, their level of education, or their bank balance. He didn't first see their sexual preference, or their culture, or their religion. These things were all secondary. Because when Jesus looked at someone, he saw them as a person. A person who was loved and accepted by a God who sent his own son to die on their behalf. Every person, unconditionally. And because of that, he welcomed and he intentionally included everyone. How did he do that? Well, we've already seen that he did it by encouraging and affirming the rights of women, enabling them to make choices. But he also did it by deliberately shaping his teaching to include women. I found it really interesting as I read through the Gospels to see where Jesus included women, and I noticed that Jesus actually had to go out of his way to include women. But that's what he did. He had to go outside the walls of the synagogue to talk with women. He had to go out into the streets, into homes, into the marketplace, even to with them theologically, like he would have with the men. Think of the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus challenged this woman's thinking at a much deeper level than you would talk to a child. Jesus expected that women would think and respond, that they would have answers, that they would have opinions, and that they would have the freedom to express those and be heard. Jesus also showed women love and respect and was even willing to risk his own reputation to do it. In Luke chapter 7, we have a story where Jesus attends a dinner in the home of one of the religious leaders. And during that dinner, a woman that's described as a prostitute comes in and she anoints his feet with oil and her own tears, wiping his feet with her hair. Now, as you might expect, other people at that dinner were horrified. They would have expected that Jesus would condemn this woman, that there's no way he would even let her do this. And yet instead, we see Jesus publicly praise this woman. Not only does he let her continue, but he contrasts her actions of worship and reverence with the neglect that he was shown by this religious leader. Openly include people like that. To be willing to show to be gay or to be socially rejected by others because of their beliefs or publicly included some of these women among 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many others. Jesus included women among his closest circle of friends, giving them opportunities to learn and to serve just like he gave the men. In John 20, we note that Jesus also commissioned women to build the kingdom of God, just like he commissioned the men. In Acts 2, we read about women receiving the Holy Spirit so that they could prophesy, just like the men. So in light of all of those things, you have to ask yourself the question, if these things are all true, then why do women still experience such exclusion in so many of our churches, Christian homes, and society today? Now, I think there's a lot of different reasons for that, including society and culture. But I think a key reason for this is a poor reading of Scripture, particularly the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy and to the church in Corinth. And unfortunately, we don't have time to go into those today. Maybe we'll do that in the future. But we have come to know Jesus through the lens of Paul's letters rather than knowing Jesus through the lens of the Gospels. We've pulled out these few select verses and we've created a whole theology and series of beliefs that have determined that women are not equal to men, that women can't be teachers or leaders, not in their homes, in their workplaces, or even in the church. That women should be silent, they should only use their God-given gifts in female environments. But I want to like Junia, who was an apostle, Phoebe, a deacon, Priscilla, Nympha, and Appia, who were teachers. How have we got it so wrong? I think up until very recently, across society and in the church, a big reason is that men have done all the teaching. Men have controlled the conversations. Men have controlled the decision-making. Men have written all our textbooks. The majority of the commentaries that I would read when I was at college. They've written our history, and it's men who've interpreted the Bible. Now, I don't have a beef against men. It's just how society's been. Women haven't had an education, so they couldn't write commentaries or teach. It wasn't a way that was able to them. The King James Version of the Bible and a lot of other translations have actually got over 1,000 examples where the words man or men, his or him, are written but aren't found in the original Greek. Now, that might not sound very meaningful, but can I tell you, as a woman, that means that when I read through the Bible, there's a lot of it that then looks like it just doesn't apply to me. It looks like I'm not included in those instructions. It looks like I don't actually get the blessing that that passage is talking about. Because it's talking about him or his. Women just haven't had a voice in that space. A Baptist professor of church history, Leon Macbeth, he was once challenged by one of his students about the lack of women in the written history of Baptist life. And so he did some deeper research, and in his report, he said, "The more I got into the primary sources relating to Baptist history, the more I found to my astonishment that women had a prominent role in Baptist history. That women did participate in church life. They did speak and teach and preach. That women as well as men did serve as deacons, even though he'd been teaching something different up until that time." He then went on to apologise to women, and he said, "From the angle of history, we have ignored you. We have hidden you, or hidden from you in recounting the stories of our heritage. Historically, women have been excluded by the church. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, women have been made to feel inferior and like they are really not needed. Generations of women have grown up being excluded from leadership, with no female role models to follow. That still continues today. They've been excluded from teaching roles in churches and theological colleges, excluded from decision making or from being taken seriously. That has been my experience, as a lot of you know. I remember a well-meaning woman in the church that I grew up in wanting to encourage me. And she said that one day I might grow up to lead our church's catering team. Now, you all know I don't really do cooking. So to say that I was devastated is probably an understatement. Now, there's nothing wrong with catering. I value those people who are gifted in that way. But I knew that God had gifted me for something else. And I was so sad to realise that I would never be able to use my gifts and my abilities and my passions in that church. For me, the Bible is clear that inasmuch as they were able to, in their culture and in their communities, both Jesus and Paul practiced the inclusion of women. They treated men and women equally, as much as they were able. They encouraged women to learn. They showed them love and respect. They welcomed them into their circle of friends. They adapted their teaching. They allowed women to learn and contribute. And at this point, I want to encourage you, because our church is different. And I am so grateful for that. This is a church that has sought to follow Jesus' example. For many years, this church has practiced equality and full inclusion of women. Leaders and members have been willing to ask hard questions. They've been willing to change as the Holy Spirit has convicted, and I am so grateful for that. This church has been willing to include women in roles of leadership for many years. Women like Fran and Dorothy and Helen and Mary. It's been willing to train and invest in women as student pastors, something that both Karen and I have greatly benefited from. But our church is unusual. We are one of only 8 churches in New South Wales with a female lead pastor. That's 8 out of more than 350 churches. I mentioned that to Winnie this week and she didn't believe me. She said, "In the West, it's much more liberal, much more open and accepting. We are also the only one with two female pastors. Plenty of churches that have two male pastors, or three, or four, or five, or six. Or they might have it one male and one female, but we are the only one with two female pastors. You see, most Baptist churches wouldn't welcome Karen or myself as pastors because we're women. We wouldn't be allowed to teach or preach or hold a position of authority. We wouldn't be shown the same respect as a man who's a pastor, or encouraged to use our gifts and our abilities except among other women. I think that because of who we are, we have become an example for other churches to follow. We have become a safe space for women. But I also wonder, and here's the challenge, how can we be an example to the broader community, as well as to other churches? How can we as individuals and as a church be examples of Jesus' inclusion? If we had time, I would love for us to discuss this, but instead you're just going to have to settle for some of my examples. As individuals, we can make a difference in our homes, obviously, by treating everyone in our homes with respect. We can make a difference in our neighbourhoods, in our places of work, and in the community by speaking out when we see women being excluded in some way, by challenging bad practices when we see them, by not remaining silent. We can provide practical support and assistance as we're able. We have the ability to be advocates and voices for change when we see women, or anyone else for that matter, who is experiencing injustice in their workplace, who are feeling vulnerable and unsafe, someone who's being excluded from receiving sick pay and other benefits. As a church at a time when churches are becoming known more for their exclusion rather than their inclusion, a time when, as James reminded us, we are grappling with injustice and overwhelming domestic violence, where women are feeling increasingly unsafe and unprotected, we as a church have the ability and opportunity of showing a much better way, of choosing to show love and value to every person who walks in our door or into our life. To not focus on whether they are male or female, whether they are black or white, gay or straight, married or single, rich or poor, but just like Jesus, seeing every person first as a person. Being an example to other churches, but also to the broader community of what the inclusive, unconditional love of God looks like. Because in the kingdom of God, there are no walls, there are no rules that separate us according to our gender. In God's eyes, we are all his loved and beloved creation. We are all made to work together in harmony, in relationship with God and each other. So I want to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you. As you go about your week this week, to do it with your eyes open. Ask God to allow you to see walls of exclusion, walls of exclusion that need to be broken down. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you courage to speak out when you see injustice. Boldness to defend and to stand alongside someone who is being treated unfairly. Showing them the love of God through your care of them and your interest and care of the situation they're in. But I want to also ask you to pray for the church, the universal church, that God's people would be true witnesses of his unconditional love. Where women can...